Well, I imagine that you're probably surprised to see me up here this morning because I don't usually preach on Sunday mornings. But I wanted to preach on Sunday morning today because of my topic. Many of my older brethren and friends are able to be with us on Sunday mornings and not able to be with us on Sunday evenings. And I'm going to be preaching this morning on growing older in grace. And so I wanted to preach it in the morning when you brothers and friends are here to be able to hear the word that I'm bringing to you. Well, before we come to the word this morning, let's pray and ask for the Lord's blessing upon the ministry of the word. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful to you for every grace that comes to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have been reminded in your word that there is everything that is necessary that we have in Christ, necessary for life and for godliness. And we pray, Lord, this morning that as we think upon the old age, as we think upon growing old, we pray that you would come and teach us your truth out of your word, that we might have a right view of what's happening in old age. Please come by your Spirit, Lord, and open up each and every heart to receive your word this morning. And may you come and have dealings with each soul. And we pray it in Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, we're continuing in our themes in the Proverbs. I believe this is number 15. I'm not 100% sure, but I believe this is number 15. I should have gone back and looked to see where we are. But we want to consider this morning growing old in grace. And then I have as a subcategory a proper view of old age. And many of us are moving in that direction. Some of us are already there, and some are very young. And I don't want you to think, if you're very young, that this has no application to you, because it has very, very strong application to you. And so you need to listen carefully and heed the exhortations that will come to you, especially in the ministry of the word this morning. Well, we live in a world at this time, a world that worships youth. They worship young, beautiful bodies, vigorous bodies, energetic bodies. And the elderly are ignored and marginalized. Those who are old, those who are frail and weak and infirm, they're marginalized and they're pushed to the side. And as you think about it, when we look at our world, there's a very clear indication that people don't want to get old. The staying young industry in our world is no doubt a multi-million dollar industry, probably a billion dollar industry, I would imagine. When you think about what's done, if you look through any magazines, you can find pages and pages and pages of plastic and cosmetic surgeons. And it's just the world that we live in. People are wanting to smooth their bodies out. They're wanting to take all the wrinkles away and all the imperfections away. They're using anti-aging creams. They're using hair growth and hair replacement methods. They're using hair coloring. And I'm not saying that any of these things are necessarily wrong, or all of these things are necessarily wrong, but people are going to great lengths to maintain a perception of youth. And that's all it is, isn't it? There's no doubt that the internal parts of these people are not changing, but people go to great lengths to change the perception that people have about them. One of the big problems that we have in our world now is that people are beginning to despise old age and the aged. They say they're not relevant anymore. They have no value in our society. They're an unnecessary burden to us. We shouldn't waste our health care dollars on them. They're out of touch, and they're taking up valuable space. And it goes on and on and on, what people say about the elderly. And when I think about these types of things, my mind is always turned to that passage in Isaiah 5 and verse 20, where it talks about the fact that we live in a generation that calls good evil and evil good. And that's the day and age in which we live. There are some in this world who have taken up the cause of the elderly. There was a man back in 1969, his name was Robert Neil Butler, and he coined a term called ageism. Have you ever heard of that term? I don't know if you have, but he coined this term ageism. And what it is it's stereotyping and discriminating against individuals or groups because of their age. And because of his statement about ageism, there have been some movements that have championed the cause of the elderly. And if you go online, one of the big groups that you'll see is the World Health Organization. They have in many ways championed the cause of the elderly. And so when we look around us, we see many differing opinions. Teddy Roosevelt, in typical fashion for him, I would say, he said, "Old age is like everything else. To make a success of it, you've got to start young." And it's true. We need to recognize it's coming. Get prepared for it. Don't avoid it. Don't try to disregard it. Recognize that it's coming and deal with it. And so what ought we to think about growing old or aging? I guess the question that we really should ask is not what ought we to think, but what does God think about the issue of old age and the aging? And so today, we want to look at the golden years through the eyes of God. And I hope that as we do this, that God will help us to have a right view of the aged and those who are aging, and every one of us are doing that at one level or another, and that we will see a proper view. Now, we're going to do this today by doing an exposition of one verse in the Proverbs, and then we're going to look at some applications to the elderly and to the young as well. Now, don't think, young people, that there's not going to be a lot through the whole sermon for you, because there is. There's going to be a lot, and I need you to pay attention to what I have to say. So turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16 and verse 31. Proverbs 16 and verse 31 is a synthetic proverb. And we've talked about this in the past, but I'm going to remind you about what it is again. A synthetic proverb is a proverb where the second line builds on or expands the first line of the proverb. And that's the kind of a proverb that we have in Proverbs 16 and verse 31. I'm going to read it for you. "A gray head is a crown of glory. It is found in the way of righteousness." So we have two parts to our exposition of this verse this morning. And so we're going to look at two points. The first point is going to be one unequivocal declaration. And the second point is one important qualification. And that's going to be our exposition this morning. And so in the first place, an unequivocal declaration, and it's the first half of our verse there. A gray head is a crown of glory. That's an unequivocal declaration. A gray head is a crown of glory. Now, prior to the fall, there would have been no gray hair, and there would have been no aging. But since the fall, we have both. We have both gray hair, and we have aging. And isn't it amazing, and I was thinking about this when I was meditating upon this, isn't it amazing how God takes something that's a result of the fall, something bad, the fall, where men fell into sin, and he makes something beautiful out of it. He says that a gray head is a crown of glory, something that wouldn't have even been there. Our God in heaven says is a crown of glory, because God can take that which is broken, and he can make it very beautiful. So what is being referred to when Solomon says that the gray head is a crown of glory? There are three things that I thought of when I was thinking about the gray head being a crown of glory. The first thing is that it's a reward. A crown is a reward. When kings conquered other lands, they took the crown of the king and they put it on their own head because they conquered those people. And it was a reward that was given to them. Another thing that we think about with regard to a crown is that it's a symbol of honor. A king wears a crown to show that he is the sovereign of a particular land area. And he wears the crown, which symbolizes that honor and that authority that he has. But there's another thing that a crown does, and it's found for us in Proverbs 4. Flip over to Proverbs 4, if you will, just very briefly, and look at another use of this word. In chapter 4, wisdom is being described, and it's being encouraged on the young to acquire wisdom and get wisdom and to prize wisdom. And in verses 8 and 9, we read these words: "Prize her, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty." And so here we see a crown to be a blessing which is bestowed upon one who pursues this kind of wisdom. And so these are three thoughts that we can have in our mind. It's a symbol of honor and authority. It's a reward that is given, and it's a blessing that is bestowed when we think about a crown which is worn. And so we have this crown of glory, and God says about it that it's the gray head that is the crown of glory. Now, I want to look at three things, and I think that there are probably more things, but just mostly going from the book of Proverbs, there are three things that I think are implied when it says that the gray head is a crown of glory. And the first thing is this: God wants us to honor the elderly. God wants us to honor the elderly. When we see those who are weak, when we see those who are frail, old folks who are maybe forgetful, hard of hearing, all these kinds of things can tempt us to despise them, to push them aside, to not want to take the time that's necessary to interact with them. And instead of having that kind of an attitude, we ought rather to see them as a treasure that God has seen fit to preserve. That's what we ought to see when we see an elderly person. In some cases, we're seeing a person that God has preserved by his grace for years upon years upon years. And what a blessing and a privilege it ought to be for us to be able to be around them and to interact with them. And so there ought to be this honor that we ought to give to elderly folks. When God was giving laws to regulate the life of the people of God in the Jewish nation, he wrote many of those laws down. And if you want, you can turn to Leviticus chapter 19. I'll read it for you. Leviticus 19 and verse 32. And this is what he told to the people of Israel, how you ought to deal with the elderly that are among you. He says to them in verse 32 of Leviticus 19, you shall rise up before the gray head and honor the aged, and you shall revere your God. I am the Lord. And so when God brought his laws to his people there in the desert, he knew about the sinful tendencies of his people to despise elderly people. Sometimes it's difficult to interact with them. They don't hear well. Perhaps they're not thinking clearly. And he says, when you're dealing with an older person, you're to rise up before them and show them honor and show honor to the aged. And it's very interesting in this verse that God puts together two things, not just the rising up in the honor of the aged, but he says, and you shall revere your God. He puts very closely to his reverence the honor of the aged. And so we ought to take it seriously ourselves. Do you seriously consider the way that you reverence God? I certainly hope that you do. And so in the same way, you ought to take seriously about rising up and showing honor to the aged, because he puts it right next to his own reverence and glory. And so I ask you, do you give honor to whom honor's due? Romans 13 and verse 7, we're reminded with regard to authorities that we're to give them honor. Well, now I'm reminding you that with regard to the elderly, we're to give them honor. Do you give them honor? Or do you respond differently? Are you impatient with the elderly? Are you snippy, disrespectful, selfish about your dealings with those who are elderly? Rather than being patient, coming alongside them, being long-suffering, dealing patiently with them, seeking to reach out and to help them, seeking to be respectful and honoring them at this stage in their lives. Do you treat the elderly as the noble characters that God describes them to be? Isn't that what we're doing this morning? We're seeking to see what is God's opinion of the elderly so that we can have the same mind in ourselves that was also in Christ Jesus. And so do you treat the elderly as the noble characters that God describes them to be? God wants us to honor our elders. But I would remind you that honor is not just a disposition that we have inside of us, but honor takes action. It's an action, and it manifests itself in tangible ways, taking time to speak with those who are elderly, taking time, just spending time with them and coming alongside of them, helping them out with things that they need help with, being patient in dealing with them, listening to the things that they have to say. You know, you can say, oh yes, I honor. Is it evident in the way that you deal with them that you really do honor those who are elderly? And may God help us to be able to do that. And so this is the first thing that it means in Proverbs 16:31, a gray head is a crown of glory. God wants us to honor the elderly. Secondly, God wants us to listen to their counsel. In Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 22, we read, you know what? Before we move on to that, I wanted to bring one more word, and it's a word about judgment upon those who don't honor. And this is particularly for our young people. to take heed to. And it's found in Proverbs 30 in verse 17. And it regards this issue of being dishonorable to your parents and to those who are older than you. It says in Proverbs 30, verse 17, "The eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it." Here is a judgment that comes upon those who are young because of the disposition that they have towards their parents. It's a judgment about arrogantly dishonoring parents. And if you'll notice in this passage, it's not even just speaking about words where you have dishonored them verbally, but it's the eye that he's speaking about. It's an arrogant eye. When your parents speak to you and they tell you to do something and you roll your eyes, or you're speaking to somebody and somebody's saying something that you think is ridiculous and you roll your eyes. And there's just an arrogant dishonoring of those who are older than you. And you ought to recognize that God looks upon this as a serious offense. You may think, oh, rolling my eyeballs is no big deal. Rolling your eyeballs is a big deal. When you roll your eyeballs before the Lord with regard to something that was said to you from a person who is older than you, and you regard it in that way, there's judgment that will come. It's not a pretty picture. Your eyeballs are going to be plucked out and the eagles will eat them. I'm not sure exactly what that means, but it ain't pretty. And it's a judgment that God is determined to give to those who refuse to bring honor to whom honor is due. All right, now let's move on. God wants us to listen in the second place to their counsel. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 22 says this: "Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old." There are years of experience to be gleaned from your parents, from your grandparents, from aged people that you interact with, elderly saints. There are years of experience to be gleaned, years of accumulated knowledge, things that have been learned through mistakes that have been made that can be brought to you in a very helpful way to keep you from making the mistakes that they made. They've had experience in raising children. They've had experience in dealing with finances. They have experience, if they're Christians, in living the Christian life and knowing the pitfalls and the temptations that can come against you. They've dealt with interpersonal relationships for years. And there is a wealth of experience that can be gleaned from these who have gone before us. In the first chapters of Proverbs, in chapters 1 to 9, 15 times Solomon reminds his sons to listen. Listen to my words that I have to say to you. Take my counsel in these many and various areas that I have to give them to you. Another verse which reminds us of the importance of this is Proverbs 15 in verse 20. It says that a wise son makes his father glad, but a foolish son despises his mother. In both of these verses, in chapter 23 and verse 22 and verse 15 and verse 20, they're reminded not to despise their mothers. Isn't that interesting? Don't despise your mothers. There's a quote that I found that I really appreciated from Mr. Kitchen, whose commentaries I have really benefited from in my study of the Proverbs. And so this word despise, not to despise your mother, this is what he says. The Hebrew verb means to hold something as insignificant. Okay, so he said, when you're not supposed to despise, Don't take the words of your mother and brush them away as insignificant, because they're not. But listen to what he says, because it's a very balanced approach. An aging adult may seem to rattle on incessantly, complain profusely, and have advice about everything. But the wise and godly child neither takes the words personally nor treats them as unimportant. Rather, he takes time to listen, weeding out the unimportant and discerning the blossom of wisdom. And may God help us to do that. And when we grow old, we all have perspectives that we have lived with all of our lives, and we do want to pass those things on to those who come after us. Sometimes those things that we may have to say may be irrelevant, but God help us to patiently sit and listen to the things that our elderly brethren have to say so that we can benefit and draw out those blossoms of wisdom, because God's given them to us as a gift, and we ought to see them as such and ought to seek to use them to the glory of God to that end. And so I ask you, do you listen to counsel? Young people, do you listen to your parents, or do you roll your eyes? Do you seek counsel? Young couples, young adults, do you seek counsel from those who are older than yourselves? The elderly, those who are older, are a rich treasure that God has given to us, and we ought not to despise them. And so that's the second thing. When we think about the gray head being a crown of glory, God wants us to listen to their counsel. Well, thirdly, God wants us to rejoice in them. In contrast to despising them, which we have just looked at, we ought to rejoice in those who are elderly. And I would ask you to just flip over one page if you're still, actually it's on the same page for me, to Proverbs 17 and verse 6. Proverbs 17 and verse 6, this verse in a very beautiful way pictures the ideal relationships between three generations. You see that? It says in verse 6, grandchildren are the crown of old men, and the glory of sons is their fathers. Do you see the three generation interaction that we find in this verse? Relationships between three generations, and how great it would be if this could always be the way it was, that grandfathers would have their grandchildren as their crown of glory, and the glory of sons is their fathers. How great it would be if this was always the case in our world. But we know that we don't live in a perfect world, and it's not always this way. But let's just briefly look at these two halves of this verse. It says in the first half that grandfathers or grandchildren are the crown of old men. Grandfathers have another crown. They not only have a crown of honor, but they have a crown of reward in seeing the legacy of grandchildren that have been raised by their children to know God, to know that what they have done in their lives, to know that what they have pursued themselves is being pursued into the next generation. And that is a crown of great glory to an old man and to an old woman, to see a righteous seed going on from from generation to generation. But the second half of this psalm, of this proverb, is more what I wanted to focus on in this portion of our study this morning. The second half of the proverb says, And the glory of sons is their fathers. The glory of sons is their fathers. And here we see a son glorying in his honorable father who has earned that respect. And isn't it a beautiful thing when we can see that a son can glory in his father? It's been a life that has been well lived. Obviously, we're all sinful. We all fall in so many ways. But when you look over the course of a life, it's a life which is well lived. A father who has been a faithful provider for his wife and for his children. A father who has been a trustworthy husband for many years. One who has been a loving dad to his kids. One who has been a consistent churchman. He's been found in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. A man who is a man of prayer. A man who is persevering in the faith up to that very moment. And this is the thing. This is the thing that I rejoice in more than anything else when I see elderly saints, is that you have continued in the faith all the days of your life. And that's an encouragement to me, to know that the Lord has preserved you all these days. And that's a great privilege. It's a great privilege to have a father, as this verse says, who has continued all the days of his life to persevere in his faith. And I know that there's been times that it's been difficult, but to be able to look over a life that has been counted for Christ is a glorious thing, and it's a life worth glorying in. And so when I look out and I see you elderly brethren who have persevered in faith all your life, I can glory in your life because the grace of God is manifest in you. Charles Bridges made this comment about such fathers who have persevered in faith all the years of their life. He says, "A good root makes the branches flourish by virtue of the lively sap that it sends up." And so there's a root that is at the base of a godly heritage, and it flows up because it was that root that was pumping into the generations that are coming after him. And it's a good root that makes those branches to flourish. And so we ought to value, and we ought to see the grace of God at work, sanctifying, purifying, and perfecting those whom God has saved. And so I ask you the question, do you value and rejoice in such a father, such a mother, such a grandfather, such a grandmother, such an elderly saint in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you able to rejoice in what they are by the grace of God? Do you value their presence and the privilege of being around them to enjoy the wisdom that flows from them? And we ought to worship God for that sustaining grace which is evident in the lives of those whom he has saved. And so these are three things I believe that we ought to think about when we think about the fact that a gray head is a crown of glory. That gray head we ought to honor. We ought to listen to what they have to say, and we ought to rejoice in them as great gifts that God has given to us. So that's the unequivocal declaration, a gray head is a crown of glory. But now in the second place, we want to make one important qualification. And it's right here for us in this verse. A gray head is a crown of glory. It is found in the way of righteousness. It is found in the way of righteousness. Now, before we come to consider this part, I want to remind us that not every gray head is a crown of glory. It's stated very particularly in the first half of the song, of that proverb, that a gray head is a crown of glory. But not every single gray head is a crown of glory. If you want to flip over to Ecclesiastes, which is the next book after Proverbs, in chapter 4, I will read it for you. We have a rather unpleasant note about some gray heads. And it says in Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 13, a poor yet wise lad is better than an old foolish king who no longer knows how to receive instruction. It's a rather pathetic picture, isn't it? When you see a picture of an old king who has ruled for many years, and yet he won't listen to his wisest advisors. He won't heed the things that they have to say. And it's really a rather pathetic picture that we see. But the reality is that not every gray head is a crown of glory. But the gray heads that are a crown of glory are to be found in the way of righteousness. So this second half of this proverb qualifies the first half of the proverb and answers the question, who has the crown of glory? And it's a clear and it's a simple answer. It's the one who walks in the way of righteousness. He's being found in the way of righteousness. And I want to consider this statement, being found in the way of righteousness, by turning over in our Bibles to Psalm 92. And I'd ask you to turn with me, Psalm 92, because this is such a helpful psalm with regard to this. Psalm 92 is a psalm of praise to God for his goodness to us, his many mercies, and his great works that come to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verses 6 to 9, there's a description of the wicked, not so much the wicked, but the senseless man who doesn't heed knowledge and understanding. He's called a stupid man even. But then at the end of this psalm, there's a picture of the righteous man. And the picture of the righteous man includes descriptions of the elderly in their old age. And I want us to read verses 12 to 14. And it says this, the righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still yield fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and very green. There's the verse that Charles Bridges before was alluding to, that root that is full of sap and pumps up into those generations that flows through him and goes out to others. And here's that picture of the elderly saint who is full of sap and very green. Well, I want to look at four things in this description about the elderly. And my dear older friends, I would encourage you to listen and to take heed to the things that the psalmist says to us about the description of the righteous, and especially as we view it, in particular, the aged righteous. Now, these four qualities are to be true of the righteous man. They're to be true of young people as well as the elderly. This is not something that you just need to look at the elderly and say, oh, you don't measure up to that. Ask yourself the question as I go through these various things, is this me? Is this a picture of me? Or are these things not being worked out in my life? And I say, if they're not being worked out in your life now, as a younger person or a young adult or a middle-aged person, when are they going to be worked out? They need to be worked out now. And we need to consider the words of Roosevelt, like he said, be prepared. He says you have to prepare now if you're going to grow old and be profitable in that way. Four things, four qualities like I want to bring to our attention. Number one, the righteous man is compared to a tree. And he's actually compared to two trees in verse 12. The righteous man will flourish like the palm tree and will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Two things about trees, palm trees and cedar trees. Durability and strength. Not easily moved. These are two things about trees that are very, very true. It's said of palm trees that they don't blow over in storms very readily. And of course, cedars, everybody knows cedars. They're gigantic, strong, huge trees. And they're not easily moved. And here I think we have a picture of the saint who is firmly rooted, strongly rooted in the principles of truth. There he stands. Here are the things that hold him, and he's not going to be easily moved from the truths that he has that have been established in his life. And so, in the first place, he's compared to a tree. But in second place, it says in verse 13, planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. Two things, they're planted and they're flourishing. First of all, these are plantings of God. Plantings. Have you ever tried to move a firmly planted tree? Have you ever tried to move a firmly planted bush? I have. It can be very difficult. But try to move a firmly planted tree. It says he's planted. He's planted in the house of God. But secondly, it says that he's flourishing in the house of God, which has the imagery that God is feeding, God is nourishing this one. God has planted him. These trees in the house of God, it's kind of an interesting picture. You got these strong trees that are planted in the house of God. And these trees are flourishing because of the grace of God that is flowing through them, through the ministry of the word and the power of the Spirit that lives in them. There is this nourishment that is flowing into them as they are planted and flourishing in the house of God. Their delight is to be amongst the people of God. Their delight is to be in the fellowship of God. Their delight is to be in the worship together with the people of God. Their delight is to be together with the people of God as they pray and meet together and beseech God on behalf of the kingdom and their families. The picture is of one who is a churchman in every sense of the word. You think about David in his lifetime. There were seasons in his life where he was not able to be amongst the people of God. And it was his greatest discouragement that he wasn't able to be in the house of God together with the people of God when he desired to be. He desired with all of his heart to be in the place of God's worship, worshiping and fellowshipping with the people of God. Is that your disposition? If you're an old person, is that your disposition? If you're a young person, is that your disposition? Because if it's not now, it's not going to be later. And so begin to cultivate those things in your heart. Well, the third quality that we see in this place is that they will, in verse 14, they will still yield fruit into old age. They will still yield fruit into old age. God, through his sustaining grace, is pumping grace into them, and they continue to bear the fruits of the Spirit in their lives. and they continue to bear the evidences of a holy life in their lives as well. They continue to bear fruit. A lot of times we think about old trees. You know, they get old and they no longer bear fruit. Well, God's old trees bear fruit. God's old trees will bear fruit until the day that they die. They'll bear the fruit of the Spirit in their lives, and they'll bear the fruits of holiness to the glory and praise of their God. And are these things evident in you as an elderly person or even as a young person? And then fourthly, the last characteristic, and that's found there at the bottom of verse 14, they shall be full of sap and very green, spiritual vigor until the day that they die. They'll be full of sap and very green. There's going to be a zeal in them for the glory of God. There's going to be a zeal for holiness. There's going to be a desire to see that grace of God. There's going to be a zeal that sinners would be saved. There's going to be a zeal that their grandchildren would come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and others that they see in the church of the Lord Jesus. There's going to be a vigor in them, even when they grow old. They're going to be old, and they're going to be decrepit in many ways. Their body is going to be breaking down, and yet there's going to be a holy zeal in their hearts for the glory of God. I thought of 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16, a passage which many of us are familiar with. It says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outward man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day." The inner man is being renewed, the infusion of grace coming into the heart of those who are breaking down physically, breaking down mentally, breaking down in every area of their life. And yet, the infusion of grace, the inner man is being renewed day by day. They're going to be full of sap and very green all the way to the end. What a beautiful picture of the one who wears the crown of glory. It is found in the way of righteousness. And so, my dear elderly saints and friends, are you this kind of person that I just described? Are you this kind of a person, one that is found in the way of righteousness? Do you know, I would ask you in the second place, do you know anything of the power of God's grace pulsating through you as an elderly person to make you lively and fruitful to the day of your death? Do you know anything about that? And if you do, praise the Lord. And may the Lord continue to grant you that grace all the days of your lives. But if you sit here and you cannot say that, yeah, I know something about the grace of God pulsating through me and sustaining me internally all the days of my life, I don't know anything about Christ and his power in me, well, I'd say to you this morning, it's never too late to run to Christ. Don't wait any longer, but run to Christ now while you have the opportunity, because Christ will receive you with all of his heart. He will receive you. And so go to him. He opens his arms and he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Go to the Lord Jesus right now, and you will. Christ is full of mercy, and you will find mercy and grace at his hand. There's a promise that I want you, elderly brothers and sisters in Christ, to consider. It's in Isaiah 46 and verse 4. It's a tremendous verse. If you're not familiar with it, you should underline it, because it's a great verse and a great promise to elderly saints. And it's even a great promise to every Christian. And he says this in verse 4, "Even to your old age, I will be the same. I'm not going to ever change. I'm always the same. And even to your graying years, I will bear you. We're not bearing ourselves. Christ is bearing us. He's holding us up. He's carrying us. I have done it. I will carry you. And I will bear you. And I will deliver you. Now, are these glorious promises? What good work God has begun, He will complete. He's the one who planted you. He's the one who's carrying you. He's the one who has done it. He will bear you, and He will deliver you all the way to glory. Because, you know, this life, we're just sojourners in this life. This is nothing. I mean, we have a privilege and a responsibility to live to the glory of our God in this life. But what's waiting is the glorious thing, the glory of heaven, which is before us. And Christ has promised to those who persevere in grace that He will carry us and deliver us and bear us all the way until the end. Well, may the Lord strengthen and bless you, my dear elderly saints in the Lord. Now, I have three exhortations that I want to bring to young people and to middle-aged people and to children. I want all you children to listen, because these are important things that I'm going to be saying to you. Number one, bless God for godly parents and godly grandparents. What a privilege and what a blessing to have a godly heritage, and how thankful you ought to be. What a privilege to have to grow up in a home where your mom and your dad love Christ, and you are raised in the fear of the Lord. Do not despise that, but recognize it to be a great blessing and be thankful for it. Value your parents and your grandparents. Love them. Cherish them. Seek to benefit from the things that they have to say, because I'll tell you something, they're not going to be here forever. Pretty soon, they're going to be gone, and there's not going to be here any longer. You're not going to be able to enjoy their presence. You're not going to be able to minister to them any longer. You're not going to be able to be an encouragement to them any longer. You know, there's a lot of people who have regretted the way that they have dealt with their parents or their grandparents because they neglected them so much. But there has never been a person who has regretted the fact, you know, I really spent too much time with my parents, or I spent too much time with my grandparents. There's never going to come a time in your life that you're ever going to feel that way. But you could come to a point where you could regret not teaching or not benefiting from the presence of your parents and your grandparents. And so, praise God, bless God, worship God for godly parents and godly grandparents. Secondly, honor your parents and your grandparents and the elderly. Honor them. There is a ton of disrespect which is going on in our world today. There are young people that are going around dishonoring their parents. You see it in the shopping places, in the markets. They badmouth the way they talk to their parents. They talk in ways that are dishonoring to God. And we have to beware as that kind of an influence that's coming up against us and around us does not sink into us where we begin to dishonor our parents and our grandparents. I want to turn, and maybe some of you are familiar with a passage of Scripture that I want you to turn to, young people in particular, kids. 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. And here, there's even a lesson about being a part of a crowd that is dishonoring an elderly person. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 23. The prophet Elijah had just cleansed waters in a particular area, and he was walking on the road. And it says, then he went up from there to Bethel, and as he was going up by the way, young lads came out from the city and mocked him and said to him, go up, you bald head. Go up, you bald head. See, here's a group of kids. Now, maybe not every one of the kids was mocking Elisha the prophet, but some of them were. Maybe some of them were just hanging with this group of bad mouth boys. I don't know. But some of them began to yell to him, oh, go up, you bald head. And they mocked and they made fun of Elisha. But look what it says in verse 24. When he looked behind him and saw them, he cursed them in the name of the Lord. Then two female bears came out of the woods and tore up 42 lads of their number. Can you imagine that? These boys dishonored this old man, and God sent two female bears to tear them up as a judgment upon them for their wickedness in dishonoring that old man. That's pretty serious, isn't it? Now, I don't know if every single one of those boys spoke to Elisha in this way, but the whole group of them, 46 boys, were torn up by two bears as a judgment for the fact that they dishonored. And you need to take seriously disrespecting elderly people, because God takes it very seriously. And at the day of judgment, if you are one who dishonors without confessing and forsaking your sin, that dishonors the elderly, you'll be held accountable for it in the day of judgment. So secondly, honor your parents, your grandparents, and the elderly. But in the last place, care for, love, and minister to your parents, your grandparents, and the elderly. And this is where we come back to again, that honor is not merely a disposition that we have in our mind where, yes, I'm going to honor them, but there is an action that is needed in actually honoring and caring for and loving and ministering to your parents, the grandparents, and the elderly. Visiting them, speaking with them, helping them, making time for them so that you can honor them in every single way. And as I said before, that is something that you will never regret. You'll never regret giving time to care for the elderly, especially those who are in your own family. You'll never regret spending too much time doing that. But you could regret not doing it enough when they're gone. Well, that's what I had. And I pray that the Lord would use it so that we would have proper views of those who are elderly. And we're all moving in that direction. And may God help us to have the mind of Christ with regard to this subject. Let's pray. Our Father, we've been reminded in your word that it's an awful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. And Lord, I know for myself, I don't want to fall into the hands of an angry God, being guilty in my conscience of having not honored those whom you say that we ought to honor. And so, Lord, I pray for myself, and I pray for each and every one who sits in this place, that we may honor you in honoring those who are elderly. We pray, Father, that you would help us to have the mind of Christ in these things and not our own minds. We pray that we would see that these things are very near to your heart and very near to your glory. And we pray, our Father, that you would give us grace, that all the days of our lives we may seek to do the things that you have called us to do. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.